Hey, everybody. Good evening. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. This is the 150th anniversary of the day God died and the death of religion, the year that the 150th anniversary of the year, the moment, the day, the month that religion became just another cultural curiosity. It is, of course, the 150th anniversary of the publication of On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. That's the long title. The short title is On the Origin of Species, November 24th, 1859. And when Darwin and other people who paralleled his work, and some predated his work, but it was Darwin who wound up getting the fame, of course, or the infamy, as you will. When the book was published, essentially that was the knife in the heart of some anthropomorphic, hairy, thundering god sitting someplace who had created he every creature that creepeth upon the face of the earth out of dust, imagination, whatever. All gone. Any practice of religion based on the book, which would include Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, since that time has been a fraud, a hoax, and a myth. And, of course, the Eastern religions have their own struggles, but their creation myths are just as hokey and superstitious and ridiculous as the one used by the three religions that are trying to kill each other and wipe each other off the planet for once and for all. Ah, yes, religion! I had no idea. Somebody sent me an email today and said, guess what? It's the anniversary, the 150th anniversary of Origin of Species. Well, so here we are, 150 years later, and we are still fighting religious wars. We still have religious psychopaths who claim they want to be president of the United States or are being very coy about it and hiding behind their coiffed hair and Botox jobs. Oh, God, it's so crazy. It's so crazy in America. It really is. It's so crazy. But religion is still alive and kicking, isn't it? Sarah Palin pretty much introduced her foreign policy the other day when she was being interviewed. Who was it that had the big interview with her the other day? Does anybody remember? I don't even remember. Oprah, thank you. Where was it Oprah where she was talking about? Well, she supports the Jewish settlements because very soon, in the next few days, months, or years, a lot of Jewish people are going to be moving to Israel. Why? Because it's the end gathering, you see. The end gathering is predicted in the Bible. And then, of course, comes the slaughter of the Jews. Once again, they'll all be concentrated in one place, according to Sarah Palin, and they will be issued their ultimatum, accept Jesus or die. Well, this is what she and Billy Graham believe, and this is what the basis of her foreign policy would be when she and Glenn Beck are elected president, vice president of the United States. The apocalypse, you see, is upon us. The rapture is upon us. The end times have been here for 2,000 years, since about 15 minutes after the historic Jesus was nailed to a tree. The end times have been with us. So here we go. You think it's been crazy in this country heretofore? Wait till the Palin Beck ticket is elected. Oh my. In perusing some of the more odd websites today, like AOL.com, I came across three religious ceremonies are happening today and tomorrow. Today in Bariapur, Nepal. 200,000 animals have been gathered together to be slaughtered, utterly and absolutely slaughtered. 200,000 animals, everything from four-legged mammals to squirrels and rodents, and I don't know, I have no idea, birds, ducks, do they have squirrels in Nepal? Cows, sheep, goats, horses, donkeys, whatever. 200,000 animals are to be slaughtered yesterday and today. It's a festival honoring, a goddess, a Hindu goddess of power. Her name being Gadhimai. The festival occurs every 5,000 years. In Bangladesh, the Eid al-Adha festival in honor of the Prophet Ibrahim's faith. This would be Abraham to you Jews and Christians, but to the Muslims, he is Ibrahim. His faith in being willing to butcher his own son for an insane, bloodthirsty God. Thousands of animals are scheduled to die in Bangladesh. And in the United States, we are, 2 days away from the vicious slaughter, as in cones of death, vicious slaughter of millions of turkeys whose lives have been miserable enough to begin with and who are going to be butchered so that people can gather for a secular holiday, not much longer, of Thanksgiving. So there you have it. In three different religions, Hinduism, Islam, and American-style Christianity, we gather together to ask the Lord's blessings. Millions of animals to be butchered, slaughtered, their heads cut off, their bodies drained of blood, their feathers plucked, their fur removed, their limbs and quarter pieces hacked up, roasted, cooked, boiled, stewed, and served to Charles Darwin's highest evolved creature. What else do we have? Four people were arrested during those weekend protests down here at Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia. They are to appear in federal court. Those arrested are charged with trespassing on federal property. The School of the Americas, which is now known as the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. Yes, indeedy. The demonstrations, of course, take place every year, for the most part led by Father Roy Bourgeois, a Catholic priest. Four arrested. What else we got? Oh, yeah, the Weather Channel founder. The guy who found the Weather Channel. John Coleman founded the Weather Channel in 1982. What a great idea that was. You know, when that first came out in 1982, a lot of people said, what? Are you crazy? A channel that just says, what, weather 24/7? Get out of town. Boy, were they wrong. Anyway, the founder of the Weather Channel, John Coleman, who no longer owns the Weather Channel, of course, but the founder advocates suing Al Gore to expose what Coleman calls the fraud of global warming. That's right. According to John Coleman, the Weather Channel has lost its way. Coleman told an audience at an international conference on climate change some time ago that he is highly critical of global warming alarmism. He says the Weather Channel had great promise, and that's all gone now because they made every mistake in the book on what they've done and how they've done it, and it's very sad. It's now for sale, and there's a new owner of the Weather Channel. Will be announced, several billion dollars having changed hands in the near future. Let's hope the new owners can recapture the vision and stop reporting all this not useful weather information. The Weather Channel's Heidi Cullen argued on her blog that weathercasters who had doubts about human influence on global warming should be punished with decertification by the American Meteorological Society. Now that, truth seekers, is heresy. It's also very true. Coleman also told the audience his strategy for exposing what he called the fraud of global warming. He advocates suing those who sell carbon credits, which would force global warming alarmists to give more honest accounts of the policies they propose. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my Darwin. Oh, my Darwin. Oh, my Darwin. We'll be back after the break. This is just to give you an idea of the madness of tonight's program. Stick around.
Sensitivity is standard.
The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. It's about 22 past the hour. This is kind of odd to me. I really don't give a tinker's damn about professional sports. Occasionally I like to watch a professional football game, but I still like some of the college football games. Occasionally we'll watch World Series, but you know, that's about it. I gave up on professional sports just about the time it became nothing but another avenue for drug addiction and drug use. So, you know, screw it. But I have a lot of friends who are NBA addicts. I mean, just completely engulfed in the NBA. I wonder what they're going to think tonight when this story has come out. Adidas? You say Adidas or Adidas? Is it Adidas? The major sports apparel maker plans to end its contract with American suppliers and move to a factory in Thailand. Of course. What is Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and all the rest of the boys going to do now, right? Made in Thailand. Right now, the all the NBA stuff, the uniforms, is are made at a factory in upstate New York. Only means 100 jobs are going to go down the toilet, so, you know, no big deal, right? Senator Chuck Schumer said the move would destroy over a century of history for the marquee American sport. That would be basketball. He's calling on Adidas to reverse the decision and keep making uniforms in the U.S. Please. What does it say here? Adidas is in the middle of an 11-year merchandising deal to be the official uniform and apparel provider for the NBA, WNBA, and the NBA Development League. Yeah? Okay. Well, to the executives of all those leagues, go ahead. Go ahead and continue negotiating. Are you going to have your multi-million dollar jerkwad superstars now, who so many American youth look up to, you're going to have them wear uniforms made in Thailand when they could be just as easily made here? If Adidas wants to move, give Adidas the finger. Tell them to move. And go with an American apparel maker. Surely there must be one left, wouldn't you think? Adidas. Spitting on the flag, spitting on professional basketball, spitting on the American worker, spitting, crapping, urinating all over everything and saying, now we're going to Thailand. God. You know why, of course? Well, of course, because labor is cheaper in Thailand. Looks like President Obama is going to follow in the steps of every chief executive of this country who has ever made a hideous, horrendous, grievous decision condemning Darwin only knows how many more thousands, tens of thousands of people to premature death, especially the children who are now going to be incinerated, blown into pieces, as Mr. Obama continues in this grand tradition, egged on by the military-industrial complex and every Republican office holder, both breathing and not breathing, ever to shame this country. So there goes one thing Clinton didn't do, did he? He did not get involved in Afghanistan. And that's one of the reasons, see, they assassinated Kennedy for not continuing the involvement in Vietnam. And in terms of character, they assassinated Clinton for not getting involved in Afghanistan. So Barack Obama, being whoever he is, I don't have a clue, do you, has decided, apparently, although everybody's getting their bloomers in a wad over this being leaked, 30 to 35,000 more Americans will be slammed into the meat grinder of Afghanistan to be chopped into many, many little pieces. It doesn't make any difference, you see, to Americans how many Afghans are killed. It's the kill ratio, of course, is important. In Vietnam, our kill ratio, if you believe the official figures, was something like 200 to 1 or worse, maybe 2,000 to 1. But this is not Vietnam, although the analogy holds, but this is Afghanistan. This is not jungle warfare. And ultimately, the United States will be defeated, and we will have to leave after the deaths of I don't know how many people. Darwin might, but multiple deaths, multiple injuries and woundings and psychoses and destruction and death and renderings and wretched screamings to Allah, to God, to Jesus, to whomever, to please, please cut short my agony, all because one man, Barack Hussein Obama, has decided to continue to play Soldier Boy. Gonna rise up, get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Just finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a red.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
We also have a report from Prairie 2 coming out tonight. 26 before the hour. This is from Don in Baltimore, who heard the news today about the same time I did about what Obama plans for death and destruction of American souls and lives in Afghanistan and so Don writes, hello, Mike. It's American arrogance once again. We're in the middle of another Vietnam. The war generals, the war hawks, and the chicken hawks, and the military-industrial complex believe their crusade will end with America being the first empire to conquer Afghanistan. The cost of the Vietnam War was bankrupting our government, causing Nixon to end the World War II Bretton Woods Agreement with its worldwide fixed currency rates based on gold, that turned the nation from industrialized capitalism to a nation based on financialism where the bankers dominate the American economy. Our industrial manufacturing-based economy was destroyed, and millions of middle-class wage-paying jobs lost forever to cheap labor abroad. Vietnam, in a way, took us down the road to where we are now. A nation financed by communist China, Japan, etc., foreign countries are keeping America from total bankruptcy. This is organized chaos and collective insanity. But Wall Street is back in business, and Goldman Sachs has billions in bonuses for its part in last year's economic meltdown. It is all business as usual on Wall Street for the Pentagon and the paid-for idiot politicians in Washington. How can ordinary Americans get anywhere when the game is always fixed against us? Don in Baltimore. So, General McChrystal's plan for Afghanistan, he believes he can win in Afghanistan. It's the rest of the world that needs convincing. And Obama promises to finish the job. Wanted dead or alive. Finish the job. However, David Obey, chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, has a stark message for Mr. Obama about Afghanistan. Sending more troops would be a mistake that could wipe out, quote, wipe out every initiative we have to rebuild our own economy, end quote. David Obey, the Democrat from Wisconsin, talks exit strategy, compares Afghanistan to Vietnam. He says there ain't going to be no money for nothing if we pour it all into Afghanistan. And he also told ABC News in an interview, quote, if they ask for an increased troop commitment in Afghanistan, I'm going to ask them to pay for it. What Obi has in mind and a couple of other people who are, I don't know, trying to reanimate the Constitution. They're talking about a war tax. Now, today, while I was, I did something I very seldom do and look at some of the polls taken on AOL. Oh, my God. 86% of people, out of about 52,000 votes, 86% of the people responding said, yeah, we should go to war, you know, increase troop commitment to Afghanistan. The next question was, do you believe in a tax to pay for it? And about 82% said no. Just goddamn crazy in this country. Just raving maniacs, aren't we? Huh? Madness. With Obama expected to announce his plan for Afghanistan on December 1st, the debate about how to pay for the war is heating up. This is posted at Sphere.com. U.S. commander in Afghanistan, McChrystal, wants 40,000 more troops. Obama is going to send 34,000 during the next year, officials told McClatchy newspapers. So House Appropriations Committee Chairman David Obie, oh, this sneaky son of a bitch, this un-American, dirty, filthy, non-patriotic, oh, my God, he wants America to pay for the goddamn war. How dare he? Excuse me. David Obie opposes any increase. We already have 70,000 people in Afghanistan. But now that it appears inevitable because Barack Obama has to follow in the footsteps of the other commanders-in-chief who, well, I've got a war to fight. I'm going to stay with this to the bitter end. I am indeed. I will not be cowed. I will finish the job in Afghanistan. What job is that, Mr. President? What is the job? The pipeline, Mikey. Anyway, David Obie says, and he and some other top Democrats, by the way, say that since the surge now appears inevitable, how about a tax to cover the expenses of the war? Various estimates put the annual cost at, we talked about this before, $500,000 to $1 million per soldier per. Is that per year? I think it's per year. Might be per month. Obie said to ABC News, quote, if we don't pay for it, the cost of the Afghan war will wipe out every initiative we have to rebuild our economy. Obie came into office in 1969 during the battle days of the Vietnam War. In a joint statement from Obie, House Democratic Caucus Chairman John Larson, and Defense Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman John Murtha, they said if the war is to be fought, quote, it's only fair that everyone share the burden, end quote. Well, now isn't that communism? Everyone share the burden? Well, that's right out of Das Kapital. Everyone share the burden? You mean like in health care and stuff like that? Share the burden, my ass. I can't even make my mortgage payment. How am I going to share the burden? Well, how about, you know, supporting pulling the troops out? No, can't do that. If we do that, the, the terrorists will come and get us. The proposal from these Democrats would impose a 1% levy on middle-class taxpayers. Those earning more would be taxed at a higher rate, depending on how much is needed for the war. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Carl Levin has also talked about a war tax, but only for the wealthy. Why the wealthy? This is America. Everybody pay it. And let's get a universal conscription deal going again. Okay? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We need a draft. We need a tax. This is war, goddammit. And don't we need a declaration of war from, I don't know, somebody? House, Senate? Guy that runs the Texaco gas station on the corner? How about the board of directors of ExxonMobil? Why don't you say, oh, that's right, excuse me, they already have issued a declaration of war. The the lawmakers don't expect Congress to pass any war tax. They just want everyone to think about what escalating the war will do to any kind of recovery here at home. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, Mueller, you're crazier than hell. Roosevelt wouldn't have got us out of depression, wouldn't have been for World War One, two, whatever. Oh. And Vietnam? So, the National Review, this is Kevin Williams, the National Review, this filthy, stinking neo-Nazi rag, said the politics of this move, the Review's Kevin Williamson said, the politics of this move are vulgar and obvious. He opposes the war tax idea because it's a tax. Antiwar.com's Justin Raimondo, and this is a surprise, is against the idea of a war tax because the war, quote, doesn't have to be paid for. It has to be ended. That's why Justin Raimondo is against the idea of a war tax. But Justin, my good libertarian antiwar.com friend, whose stuff I use all the time, although I know you don't use mine, but that's okay. That's kind of a weak sister approach, isn't it, dude? Or weak brother. Don't want to be two sexes here. Isn't it kind of a chicken droppings approach? Don't say that, Justin. Don't say you oppose the tax because the war has to be ended, not paid for. Justin, it's not going to be ended. And people like you, from your political perspective, or moi, from my political perspective, can talk about ending the war until they open a Dipper Dan franchise in hell. It still will not end. Been here, done this, got the T-shirt. Okay? So let's not play semantic games. Let's just say everybody pay the goddamn war tax. That's the only way to get the attention of the American people. Let them know. All right, 1% of every penny you earn, no matter where it comes from, your Social Security, your unemployment check, your wages, whatever it is, 1% goes to fund the war against terror. Oh, you don't want to do that? You're not a patriotic American? What the hell are you then, huh? You scum-sucking son of a bitches who don't want to pay a tax to fight terror? What's the matter with you people? This is war! The Muslims are coming! The Muslims are coming! The Muslims are coming!
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Could it be that Sarah Palin was right, that Barack Obama does hang out with terrorists? McChrystal and Petraeus? That's what PA sends me from Oz. Pad sends me from Oz. Maybe she was right, huh? Have you been following the past couple 3 days, the reports about these cribs that are killing children and have been removed now? The manufacturers requesting that people get them out of their attics and basements and don't buy them at used furniture stores. And then, of course, we had the collapsing strollers that would sever the fingers off of babies. And we also had the playpens that were killing children. You know, while this has happened, this is another example of Bush and the Republicans being guilty of child murder. Yeah. Bush and the Republicans are guilty of every single one of these deaths. This is the biggest crib recall ever. But the strollers and the playpens and all this other stuff. There's an organization that's a government organization, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, independent agency of the government, created in 1972 during the bad old Nixon years. It was created to protect, quote, against unreasonable risks of injuries associated with consumer products, end quote. The CPSC is generally headed by three commissioners nominated by the president, confirmed by the Senate for staggered 7-year terms. The commissioner set policy for the CPSC, yada, yada. Now, the person who was in charge during the Bush years has been replaced. Back in June, the Senate confirmed Inez Tenenbaum, Obama's pick to chair the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And that is the regulator of everything from toys to toasters. And as it said back then, Tenenbaum's presence will likely cause a shift in the way the agency operates, including a greater focus on public protection. Aha. At her confirmation hearing, Tenenbaum pledged to operate CPSC, quote, in an open, transparent, and collaborative way, end quote. She said, quote, as a new chairperson, I will reassure America's families that their government can and will protect them from unknown or unforeseen dangers in the products they use, end quote. Now, she took the reins of the CPSC at a time in the agency's history, pivotal time, in addition to the challenge of regulating all this imported crap that comes to this country from China, like, oh, I don't know, drywall, pet food. The CPSC is in the middle of enforcing the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, which was passed by Congress in 2008. The bill tightens safety standards in toys regarding lead. It just goes on and on. But before Tenenbaum was this crazy fascist right-wing Republican woman named Nancy Nord. Remember her? She never got confirmed by the Senate, so Bush made her acting commissioner in chief or whatever. And I love the way it was put years ago or months ago. Nord's tenure at CPSC was checkered with controversy. For example, you remember this? In November 2007, the Washington Post investigation revealed that Nord and the former chair, Hal Stratton, all Republicans, had taken nearly 30 trips financed by some of the industries that the CPSC was supposed to regulate. According to the investigation by the Washington Post, quote, the airfares, hotels, meals totaled nearly 60,000. The destinations included China, Spain, San Francisco, New Orleans, and a golf resort on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Huh? Bastards. Bastards. During the Bush years, Consumer Product Safety Commission did nothing. They didn't inspect a goddamn thing. So here's the result. All the dead children, well, it's capitalism's collateral damage. You know, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ, babies die, for heaven's sake. What about the abortionists? They kill them before they're born. Capitalism is the most family unfriendly, destructive, vile, filthy, putrid, stinking system ever developed. Especially when it is allowed to run loose, to trample, stomp, eviscerate, kill, murder, smash people, men, women, children, babies, old people, into the dust. Which is what capitalism does. Capitalism, the unbridled capitalism, the capitalism that now exists in this country. Obama, I guess, I don't know, who knows what Obama's doing, but the form is there that he's trying to put some teeth back into the regulatory agencies. We'll see how long that will last, won't we? Huh? Even if Obama succeeds when he is finally removed from office, either by a right-wing Beck fan shooting him or being defeated in an election or reaching the end of his two allotted terms, and a Republican regime takes over under any of those scenarios I just mentioned.
But Joe Biden isn't a Republican, Mike.
Sit down. Shut up. I'm talking. When the Republicans finally do take over, then anything that Obama does get done in terms of putting a few baby teeth into the regulatory agencies, it will all be disemboweled immediately, as Bush and Cheney did. So I maintain, and I do this from a logical, righteous, sensible, logical point of view, Bush and Cheney are responsible for every single child death that occurred because another federal agency was run by one of their filthy goddamn political hacks who was told, don't do anything. Don't get in the way of the manufacturer. Don't get in the way of capitalism. Just go on your trips.
Is your credits.
This is the Malloy program. Yeah, I certainly do hold the Bush-Cheney collection of killers utterly and absolutely and totally and completely responsible for the deaths of all these children because their parents trusted that the Republican government would staff the regulatory agencies with people who actually took their job seriously and were interested in protecting the American worker, the American consumer, the American whatever. And that was not the case. Every single regulatory agency under Bush and Cheney was staffed with a political operative, much like Stalin did, or Big Brother did, or Mao did, or whatever. These are really evil sons of bitches. You know, I was talking to somebody today. I don't believe in free-floating good or free-floating evil. I have a pretty neutral idea where it concerns behavior. That's all it is behavior. Murdering 6 million in death camps is a form of behavior. You know, tending to the poor and the dying in Calcutta at great personal sacrifice is a form of behavior. But there are people who understand how to destroy. And they do it gleefully. George Bush was one. He did it amorally. Dick Cheney does it gleefully. I think Glenn Beck, given half a chance, would do it gleefully. Limbaugh, there's no question. Sarah Palin will do it all for Jesus. But this is these people I just mentioned. They do evil. They do evil things. They do things that could only be interpreted as evil, even though there is no such thing, as far as I'm concerned, in the universe as evil and good. Just waiting to, you know, slip into some human being like some kind of an incubus waiting to do all kinds of damage. In that regard, I see Cheney and Bush and their ilk as being creators of what we would call evil. In every action that they take, every breath they take, every step they took, In China, it was announced today that that country executed a dairy farmer and a milk salesman. They were shot today in front of a firing squad for their roles in the sale of a contaminated baby formula. These two men were the only people put to death in a scheme to boost profits by lacing milk powder with the industrial chemical melamine. Remember that? When was that? A couple of years ago when that hit the news, 18 months ago, another 19 were convicted and received lesser sentences. At least 6 children died after drinking this garbage, and more than 300,000 were sickened. So China, which is totalitarian capitalism at its most explicit, this is what the Goldman Sachs people, this is what the collective Wall Street crowd, the financial services industry, the corrupt mortgage industry, this is how they would like to run the United States or see it run, with them controlling things behind the curtain. Totalitarian capitalism. This is how China does it. And because the capitalism is so important, because the money is so goddamned important, the Chinese, when caught, will execute people responsible. So here are two people responsible for the deaths of 6 children: Dick Cheney and George Bush, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission Board of Commissioners are responsible over the past 8 years for the deaths of, what did I hear today, 900 children? Could that be right? About 100 a year? Because they did not do their jobs under orders from Cheney and Bush. We're going to put you in as head of the APA. We're going to put you in as head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. We're going to put you in as head of the Bureau of Mines. We're going to put you in as head of air quality standards. You know, just on and on and on. Just whatever you do, you goddamn little puppets, don't do anything that we tell you not to do. You are not there to regulate. You are there to destroy regulations. We call it the Environmental Protection Agency. Ho, 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 ho. To throw people off. Christy Whitman did a good job for us. She even was a little nervous about it, but she still did a good job for us, telling those poor sons of bitches in Lower Manhattan, oh yeah, the air is safe now. Go back. Start your computers. Make money. Yeah, go. How many people are going to die from that? 3,000 died on that day because of the incompetence, the murderous incompetence of these son of a bitches. How many more people are going to die as a result of Christy Whitman, former governor, a governor of New Jersey, former head of the EPA, under direct orders from Bush and Cheney, ordering people that the air was clean, and now they're dying. Republicans, capitalism, filth. One big equation. If the Chinese will execute two people for the deaths of 6 children after drinking adulterated formula, why not execute people who are responsible for the deaths of hundreds of children? What's the difference between adulterating formula with melamine and refusing to do the duty Congress ordered you to do, and that is to make sure products manufactured in this country or coming into this country meet certain minimal standards so that people, children, don't die. But Mike, poor Mike, poor stupid Mike, don't you get it, Mikey? Mikey, come on. That would mean a loss of profit. That would mean sales would dip. That would mean that people would have to do their jobs. That would mean, if we did what you're saying, you goddamn socialist, it would mean that products would have to be inspected, time consumed, money lost. Capitalism requires a couple of things. An unregulated and vast, cheap workforce and the ability to avert one's eyes when the collateral damage of capitalism begins to occur. Death? Well, you know, God damn, what do you want? Oh, you want a little security or a little freedom? Anybody give up one, give up both, or something like that? Keep the proles thinking that nonsense. Huh? Security? Nah, you want freedom. But I don't want my child to die in a collapsing crib side. Well, then, tie it with rope. And besides, what are you having kids for? You know, that it just doesn't register with anybody. You know, I just sit here and howl into the night. Doesn't register with anybody. Oh, I'm not talking about you. You get it, truth seeker. But it doesn't register with anybody. That the only people responsible for the deaths of all these children in the collapsing cribs and the fingers severed on these little 8 and 10 and 12 and 14-month-old kids from the strollers and the collapsing playpens and the poison formula, the only people responsible for this are the ones at the top of the capitalistic heap of corpses who keep saying, no, don't regulate. The market will take care of everything. Well, today, the market did. After 800 or 900 dead children, by God damn, they're not going to make them anymore. Woo! Victory! The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. Past the hour. This is from Greg in Wisconsin. Mike, regarding Afghanistan. Greg writes, I don't think there could be a middle ground in Afghanistan. An increase of 34,000 troops won't win, quote, the war. It will only lead to more body bags, more wounded, intensify the resistance, and the end result will be the same, defeat. Obi has the right idea about everyone sharing the burden, but he doesn't go far enough. I think there are only two options, complete withdrawal, which I favor, or let's go all out and win it so it can end and we can get the troops out. Obama should withdraw our military and let the corporations hire Blackwater to fight it for them if they want to reap the energy profits. These companies' ventures would no longer be profitable without taxpayer-subsidized military help. If Obama can't withdraw and end the war, then let's go all out. 500,000 troops would be needed to pacify the country, and since we don't have that many, let's bring back the draft. And no deferments for undergrad students this time around. Everyone goes. Everyone contributes. I'd love the speeches. Okay, Congress, right-wingers, you want a real war that we can win? Now you have one. Take your pick. There's no middle ground. You'd see how fast this war would end with either of these options. Of course, both you and I know that will never happen. Greg in Wisconsin. Yeah, that's right. I am so sick of these goddamn chicken hawks like Dick Cheney. Cheney was on somebody's radio program today, I heard. Talk about, well, I think Obama is, I don't understand what the problem is here. You know, this is a son of a bitch who had, what, 6 deferments? cowardly little piece of human waste. He wants your son, your dad, your brother, your mom to go die. But him, when he had a chance, hid behind his wife's, you know. I hate these people. I hate cowards. I hate sneaks and I hate liars. Republican office holders are every single one of those combined. Sneaky, lying cowards. Every one of them. Every single one. You hand these people who are advocating a troop surge or an increase or win the war, hand them a rifle. Give them 6 weeks of basic training. Put them into as much military armor as their either skinny or overweight, filthy little bodies can handle, and put them down outside Kandahar with a platoon of Marines and say, "Now, fight, you little son of a bitch!" What do you think would happen, huh? How quick before the squad of Marines would kill the bastard for being a coward, a sneak, and a liar? Every single Republican office holder or media freak, I don't care what part of this corrupt, filthy Republican Party they represent, from the so-called moderate wing to these curtain-climbing freaks who just can't wait for the rapture. I'll tell you what, you guys can rapture, you can avoid the rapture. Put on some body armor, pick up a weapon, go into Afghanistan. Jesus will pluck you out of there so fast. Right after your body hits the ground and your insides explode all over the roadside, but you'll be in heaven. The Christian terrorists don't have that kind of dedication. They're not quite that dedicated. They want somebody else to go blow themselves up. The Muslim extremists do have that kind of dedication, huh? Right? You notice the imbalance there? The Christian extremists want somebody else to go die so that the pile of corpses gets bigger and bigger and Jesus will be happy and rapture all their wasted little asses up into heaven. Isn't that how it works? Isn't that the scriptures according to people like Sarah Palin? Isn't that what she means when she lays out a skeletal example of her foreign policy? Huh? Well, the rapture's coming and Armageddon. There are going to be a lot of Jewish people who are going to be moving to Israel over the oncoming days and weeks and months, you know, because the rapture's coming. Hey, praise the Lord, Shalomani Hondo. The rapture's coming. The ingathering is upon us. Isn't that what this smiley, crazed former governor is talking about when she talks with Oprah Winfrey? Huh? She's great at killing moose. Give her a rifle. Give her 6 weeks of training. Come on. There are other women, mothers, all kinds of moms that went in the National Guard of the Reserves because there are no jobs, and now they find themselves going into a war zone. Come on, Sarah. God damn you, Sarah. Come on. Pick up a gun. Let's go, baby. Shoot, baby, shoot. We'll put you in a helicopter. Come on, just like shooting them mooses, huh? Come on, Sarah. Do it. Only this time you'll have human targets, baby. You gotta love that. And they're Muslims. Come on, Sarah. Put your money where you're... No, I can't say it. Oh, you smell me, smells like money. When I come running, wow, let's keep it coming. Wow, rock while I drum drumming. Destiny got the whole world freaking something, and we killing something. Somebody better warn y'all. Be Michelle and Kelly, put that jelly on y'all. Rockin' Missy be hot like California. Won't you sing the hook? Why don't ya? Now here we go. Move your body up and down. Make your booty touch the ground. I can't.
He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Hey, the phone number here is 877-996-2556. If you want to jump in here and join us, it's 25 before the hour. The only thing that I could find that offers any comedic relief tonight at all is Lou Dobbs, the fired CNN host. And the guy who is just, it got so weird watching him every night slowly peel the onion of his crazed psychoses and watch him get deeper and deeper and deeper into craziness. Well, he's made an announcement. The freak known to his fans as Mr. Independent made his presidential ambitions explicit on former Senator Fred Thompson's radio show Monday. Asked if he might make a run for the White House in 2012, Dobbs answered flatly, "Yes is the answer." There you go. He's crazy. Okay, let's see. We have a Palin, Beck, Dobbs, Buchanan, Limbaugh ticket. Oh, man, I love it. Keep going, you freaks. Dobbs told Thompson, quote, "I'm going to be talking some more with some folks who want me to listen in the next few weeks. Right now, I'm fortunate to have a number of wonderful options." Lou Dobbs running for president. Oh, my God. Give these guys a television studio and 300,000 listeners who send them emails saying, "Oh, Lou, you're God. Oh, Lou. Oh, save us from the dirty Mexicans. Oh, Lou, thank you, Lou." And all of a sudden they think they have a mandate from God. Oh, no, wait, that's Sarah Palin. Yeah, if you really want to know what's going inside Palin's head, and I certainly do know what's going inside Palin's head, don't I? But what's really going on inside her head is she sees herself as a fulfillment of prophecy. She is mentioned in the book of Revelation. She's not the whore that rises up out of the sea. No, she is one of the horn blowers, letting people know that the end is at hand. That's Sarah Palin. I'm telling you, this woman is religiously psychotic and is going to try to translate all this into her presidency. Oh, my God. All right. Prairie 2. And then to your phone calls. Bruce writes, tonight, the dollar held its own today against other paper currencies, but gold edged up anyway. The fear of a dollar bounce back pushed down the world's equity markets, and China's stock market is really feeling the pinch of cheap dollars and was down sharply. China's banks are rumored to be selling stocks to raise money to meet the strict new capital requirements in that country. The government of China has also established rules that effectively block U.S. banks from entering China's derivative markets. China is not going to be taken down easily by Wall Street. Back in the U.S., the real economy continues to degrade, with 25% of homes now underwater, and credit card delinquencies are well over 10% for the first time ever, despite a host of new cutbacks where it concerns credit lines. Oil prices have been driven up by Wall Street banks. There's speculation that has stalled as demand continues to stagnate. Refineries have not been able to cut production fast enough to keep the supply of gasoline from mushrooming, and price declines can be expected. This would be a good thing, but nothing comes without a price. There is talk from Republicans for the urgent need to cut taxes to stimulate the economy. This comes amid rumors that Obama will get behind a movement in the House to tax the Republicans to pay for this war they want so badly, but will not pay for or serve in the military that bleeds from it. The retail sector strategy seems to be to create artificial shortages to get consumers that still have a dollar to part with it. The big stores are opening earlier than ever and spreading rumors that they expect huge crowds Friday morning. At the same time, retailers are downplaying down-sagging sales expectations to investors. They are saying that they won't be cutting prices as much as they have in the past, as they attempt to prop up profits on a smaller volume. We may have a better idea next week where we're going and how fast the decline will be. The FDIC has let it be known that they are watching about 150 more banks than they admitted before, and they expect that bank failures will peak next year. It will be an interesting year. Prairie 2. PrairieNumeral2.com. Last thing here, authorities in Clay County, Kentucky. That'd be London, Kentucky. Authorities there have concluded that a Clay County cemetery or a U.S. Census worker found dead in a secluded Clay County cemetery killed his own damn self but tried to make the death look like a homicide. He did. Bill Sparkman, 51, of London, Kentucky, might have tried to cover the manner of his death to preserve payments under life insurance policies that he'd taken out. There you go. The policies wouldn't pay off if old Bill committed suicide, according to state police captain there. Police captain said, "We believe it was an intentional act on his part to take his own life." Sparkman's nude body was found September 12th by people visiting the cemetery. There was a rope around his neck tied to a tree, and he had what appeared to be the word "fed" written on his chest in black marker. His census identification card was taped to his head. Tests showed there was no DNA other than Sparkman's on the rag in his mouth or on another rag found near his body. Other evidence also pointed to suicide as the manner of Sparkman's death, according to the police. For instance, there was no evidence that Sparkman struggled with anyone. There were no wounds on his body. Test ruled out any theory that he was drugged and unconscious when he was tied to the tree, making the lack of signs of a struggle more significant. Sparkman's glasses were taped to his head. The question that raises why a killer would care whether Sparkman, who had poor vision, could see what was going on. On the other hand, if Sparkman was riding on his chest or preparing to kill himself, it would matter that he could see. And although it's true that Sparkman died of asphyxiation from the rope around his neck, he was not dangling from the tree the way people commonly perceive hanging, according to the police spokesman. Sparkman's hands were bound behind his back, but loosely, allowing him to move them shoulder width apart. Anyway, Sparkman's son Josh, whom he adopted and raised as a single father, had argued earlier that his father did not kill himself. Bill Sparkman had battled cancer a few years ago and survived, so it made no sense that he would kill himself now, his son said. However, authorities are confident in the conclusion that Sparkman committed suicide. Case closed. All right. That's what happens up there in Kentucky. Weird stuff, man. You start to feeling depressed and hang yourself. That's right. Ben is in Allentown, PA. Hey, Ben.
Mega dittos, Mike. I'm just kidding.
In
the wake of these recent teabagger protests, where the subhumans were holding up signs of the bodies piled like cordwood, a lot of liberal hosts, including Rachel Maddow, have sort of come out and they've condemned ever using a Nazi analogy outright. They said anybody who does that loses the debate right from square one. Mm. And I just wanted to make the case to you and your audience that we as liberals shouldn't cede that ground that easily. You know, by the time we whipped out the Fuhrer card, it was at least 4 or 5 years into it, and we already had unilateral invasions, secret torture camps, secret detentions, and secret wiretaps. Now, compare that to what Obama's done so far, where they're calling him Hitler. So far, we have some mealy-mouthed health care reform and what? The Lilly Ledbetter Act. And that's it. And for them, that's enough to invoke Hitler. And not only that, we also had that Prescott Bush, that whole shady connection on our side. So I just want to say, you know, we ought to leave that card on the table.
Oh, I completely believe the tactics used to inspire fear and loathing and terror in this country were taken right out of the Nazi handbook. It was word for word what, was it Himmler or Goebbels said, how to control. Look, you gotta understand, and apparently this is what a lot of liberals don't understand, who still wanna play fair. Any liberal, in media who talks about not playing the Hitler card or playing fair, I just wonder, what are you talking about? You wanna play fair with whom? Killers who would cut your goddamn throat and laugh while you bleed? No, no. No, right. Thank you. If you want to do that, go ahead, but not moi. I mean, it was the tactics. Was it one of the Nazi high command said, I'll tell you how to control a population. Just develop a threat from without. Tell them that we're the only ones who can protect them from the threat. And you can move that population any way you want to. Most people don't understand how highly civilized and developed and evolved and creative the German people were, even though they had just gone through the humiliation of World War I, the absolute destruction of their money, the collapse of whatever consisted of the German Empire. Everything was falling down around their ears, and they still were a creative, proud people. And then all of a sudden, bingo, here comes Hitler. Bingo, here comes Dick Cheney.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy. All this fussing and fighting, man, you know I sure can't stay. Now, baby, if I can leave it drunk, you know we got to leave today. Just exactly where we're going, I cannot say, but we might even...
It's about 10 before the hour. Leon is in Victoria, Texas, listening on XM. Hey, Leon.
What's happening, Mike?
You are.
Hey, I was listening to you, and you were talking about the credit cards being 10% defaulted. I can't remember exactly which terminology you used. But it made me think about, I worked on a guy. He is the president of the largest bank in Central America, largest privately owned bank in Central America. And he made a statement to me that they gave out credit cards knowing that 10% of the people would default, and that's why they raise rates to 30% when you're late, because they know 20% of the people are going to pay. So when you said that, I thought that was very interesting, because I had heard that, you know, 2 months ago, that they knew in advance 10% of the people would default on their credit card.
Yeah. Okay. The problem here, I think, and this is what people have been watching that industry are talking about, and our economics dude Bruce writes in about. What they're concerned about is the default rate on American credit card accounts has never been that high. You know, people run up their credit cards to the maximum and then pay those minimums, which means that, you know, they can be paying on the same bill for 15, 20 years, almost like paying a damn mortgage. But they haven't defaulted, because they, you know, they could always get a refi on their house, or they could do this, or they could do that. Now, there's no place to go, and the defaults are occurring. And I think that's what makes it, so bad in this country. As far as raising the rates, I think the credit card companies understood that there are some new restrictions coming. They're coming next year, and they're just trying to get what they can get. It's a snatch and grab. It's just like, you know, before they install the security cameras at the jewelry store, the thugs are going to come in and snatch and grab. That's all that's going on here. A default rate on credit cards in this country has been historically low. People keep their credit cards, but you know, that's changed during, you know, the Bush years and now this.
All right. Well, I just wanted to let you know that.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot, Leon. Yeah, it's just like the credit card companies have been pulling some real filthy tricks. But so, I mean, credit card companies don't exist in limbo. They, you know, it's more selling debt. A lot of them are bank backed. This is more of the crimes against the American people that are being committed by these capitalist monsters who don't give a rat's ass how bad your credit rating gets. Just spend, go debt. Remember about about 3 years ago, you couldn't go to your mailbox without finding. We used to get, I don't know, I'm trying not to exaggerate here, at least 15 of those a month. You know, your credit is perfect. Here, $25,000 credit card limit. Sign up. 0% interest for the first year. Balance transfers, 0% interest. I mean, it was like never ending. Remember that? Have you also noticed how all of a sudden, I don't care how good your credit is, it's just dried up. And, you know, it's just like the mortgage industry. During the Bush years, the bandits were allowed to do any goddamn thing they wanted to do. Anything they wanted to do. You want to steal? Steal. You want to cheat? Cheat. You want to lie? Lie. Remember all the accounting firms that no longer exist because they were allowed to lie and cheat and sneak also? All of them, capitalists with a capital C, Republican-inspired. You know, the new sheriff came to town, this filthy pig, Dick Cheney, and said, well, I'll tell you what, restrictions, my ass. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to strip the bark off of this society. We're going to beat it down, so grab all you can get, all right? Because the ultimate goal is to turn this Democratic Republic into a pure fascist state. So steal, get all you can get, boys. Go. And they went. And it was, you know, like George Bush said, perfect trifecta. You know, when you allow your country to be attacked by 19 people with box cutters and you get 3,000 dead, oh my God, you can do anything you want to do. You can declare war on anybody, anywhere. You can inspire your country to look over there while you take advantage and steal the poor suckers blind, which is exactly what happened. Wake up. Wake up. Not you, True Seeker. I know you already know this. But that's exactly what happened. What do we need to divert their attention? Oh, I know. I know what we need, an act of domestic terror, something that will really just turn the proles inside out. They'll all be looking at, oh my God, who did this to us? Iraq. No, it was Saudi Arabia. Iraq. It was? Iraq. Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda. Taliban. Iraq. Saudi Arabia. No. But 15 of the 19 bombers were from Saudi Arabia. No. Pay no attention to that. Look at me. You see? Look. Okay, now look over there. See that? Afghanistan. Caves. Bombs. Let's go, boys. Now steal these stupid son of a bitches blind. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. Thanks for hanging out or just tuning in. Well, you know what we've been talking about tonight. If you're just joining us, my goodness, you've missed such a sterling program. This is a new one. This came out Sunday. I'll just read you the first couple of sentences. It says, the United States is massively building up its potential for nuclear and non-nuclear strikes in Latin America and the Caribbean by acquiring unprecedented freedom of action in 7 new military, naval, and air bases in Colombia. But I thought we were there to stop the drug trade. The development and the reaction of Latin American leaders to it is further exacerbating America's already fractured relationship with much of the continent. The new U.S. push is part of an effort to counter the loss of influence it has suffered recently at the hands of a new generation of Latin American leaders no longer willing to accept Washington's, I like this, political and economic tutelage. Colombia has received military aid worth almost $5 billion from the U.S. since 2000, despite its poor human rights record. No, not despite. This must be from the U.K. Because of its poor human rights record. We don't give billions to countries that have good human rights records. Come on. Oh, my God. Israel, Egypt, Colombia. Are you serious? I love that sentence. The country has received. This is written by, I guess, Hugh O'Shaughnessy writes for the UK. Writes for the Guardian of the UK. I don't think he writes for the Scotsman, but the writer says the country has received military aid worth almost $5 billion from the U.S. since 2000, despite its poor human rights record. The sentence needs to be changed just a little bit, Hugh, because of its poor human rights record. Come on. Colombian forces regularly kill the country's indigenous people and other civilians, and last year raided the territory of its southern neighbor, Ecuador, causing at least 17 deaths. Oh, goddamn, that's our kind of leadership, boy. Are you kidding me? We want to partner up with him, them, it. Damn right. President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, who has not forgotten about the U.S. involvement in the attempt to push him out of office. President Hugo Chavez warned this month that the agreement for those bases could mean the possibility of war with Colombia. Venezuela going to war with Colombia. In August, President Evo Morales of Bolivia called for the outlawing of foreign military bases in the region. President Manuel Zelaya of Honduras, overthrown in a military coup d'etat in June, and initially exiled his complaint that U.S. forces stationed at the Honduran base of Pomerola collaborated with Roberto Michelotti, the leader of the plotters of the man who claims to be president. No, we didn't. We didn't do that. You're not the boss of me. We didn't do that. We didn't do it to Hugo Chavez either. No, we didn't. All that bad behavior was last century. Okay. And the century before. The fact that the U.S. gets half its oil, let me repeat the phrase so it starts to register, the fact that the United States gets half its oil from Latin America was one of the reasons the U.S. Fourth Fleet was reestablished in the region's waters in 2008. The fleet's vessels can include Polaris, nuclear-armed submarines, a deployment seen by some experts as a violation of the 1967 Tlatelolco Treaty, which bans nuclear weapons from the continent. 1967? Give me a goddamn break. That's so long ago, it's not even history. Indications of U.S. willingness to envisage... Yeah, this was the British press. To envisage the stationing of nuclear weapons in Colombia are seen as an additional threat to the spirit of nuclear disarmament. Oh, really? So now we are aiming south. It's not enough that we have pissed off the entire world And then Barack Obama came along, and all of a sudden, oh, we love America! We love America! Look who they have elected, Presidente! We love America! Viva America! Viva America! You're doing what? You're sending nuclear armed submarines down here around our territory? What? Death to America! Death to America! You know how it goes. But the, you know, the capitalist speculators who have already pushed futures on oil up around $100 a barrel, that means guess what's coming soon, truth seeker? It's not enough. Remember what capitalism wants. It wants everything, and it wants it for free. It wants everything, and it wants it for free. That is the voracious nature of the sick, perverted economic system. Now, capitalism in and of itself does nothing. It just sits there and doesn't do anything. But when you put that system in the hands of predators, and God knows this country has had them for its entire existence, even before it was a country. First thing they had to do was make sure they had cheap labor. Well, slavery. God damn, you can't get any cheaper than that. So here we are again. Central America and South America have been pillaged, burned, raped, assaulted, mutilated, bombed, killed, shot at, occupied, destroyed by Norte Americanos for 200 years. Okay. For 150 years. And they're tired of it. They have seen their governments overthrown. They have seen their elected leaders assassinated. They have seen murderous corporations come in, hire private armies, or bring in the United States Marine Corps. It didn't make any difference back in the 1900s. Didn't make any difference. Early 1900s? Goddamn, Nicaragua? You want Nicaragua? It'll send in a battalion of Marines, and it's yours. How hard was that? You think the Asians, you think the South Asians don't like us? You think the Arab world doesn't like us? You think the Europeans don't like us? Stick your big toe into Central America and see how they feel after watching 200,000 Central Americans slaughtered because of people like Ronald Reagan and Oliver North and George Herbert Walker Bush and the Contras and all that madness. You think you want to see some real contempt for the United States? Go south, brother. That's all you have to do. Just go across the border. You know, Mexico doesn't count. They hate us there too. But you know, keep going. Keep going, keep going. That's it. Keep going. Okay, you're almost there. Keep going. You want to see some real American hatred? Try Panama. How many Americans understand how many Panamanians, civilians, citizens, people going about their business, driving taxi cabs, opening their grocery stores, selling shoes? How many of those Americans were, Central Americans, Panamanians, were butchered, shot down in the streets by American strafing and bombing and troops when George Herbert Walker Bush decided it was time to remove Panama's Manuel Noriega, who had done a very good job of being the transshipment point for all the drugs from Colombia into the United States in an attempt to utterly destabilize this country, provide funds for George Herbert Walker Bush so that the country, yada, 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 yada. And when Manuel Noriega, who was a CIA asset for how many years? Well, ever since the guy he succeeded, Torrijos, was killed in a plane crash. In the mountains of Panama? Was it Panama? Where was it? No, nobody cares. So now we've decided to send the 4th Fleet with nuclear-armed submarines south.
with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So we get half of our oil in this country. How many Americans know that? From south of the border, a lot of it comes from Venezuela. There have been some vast oil fields now discovered, I believe, off the coast of Ecuador, certainly off the coast of Brazil. Oh, my God. The Chinese are moving in there as quickly as they can. So all the talk about freeing ourselves from foreign oil. Hello, 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 hello. Whatever happened to that, to that, to that, to that? How's come we're not working on different sorts of energy, 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 instead of oil, oil, oil? Anybody here? 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 You see what I mean? I mean, it's crazy. And here goes Obama. Now, being the commander-in-chief, the El Presidente, Barack Obama, has the power to order the Fourth Fleet to go away. He has further power to, almost said he has further power to order U.S. corporations to stop meddling in the internal affairs of our neighbors to the south. Lost my mind there for a minute. Barack Obama does not have that power. He does not. You know who has that power? The power to order the Fourth Fleet? The same people that had the power to order the Marines into the banana plantations in Central America in the first part of the 20th century. Go read your Smedley Butler. You know, don't take my word for it. Read Mark Twain. Read Smedley Butler. It's all there. War is a racket. Smedley Butler's screed. Two-time Medal of Honor winner, General Smedley Butler. But what would he know? Right? So here we are again. I mean, this is astonishing. Incredible, mind-boggling, isn't it? Our peace-loving, freedom-loving, democratic, progressive, liberal president. The one that the right-wing monkeys in this country call a fascist. And compared to Hitler. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Barack Obama has allowed, ordered, permitted, stood aside, I don't know, while the U.S. military starts to move in to Colombia. We've sent a lot of money to Colombia. Billions and billions of dollars to Colombia. Meanwhile, our system is falling apart up here, but Colombia, for their wink, wink, nudge, nudge, war against the terrorist. What are the terrorists called there? They're called narco-terrorists. Why are they called that? They grow coca bushes and take the leaves and turn it into, you know, paste and then, you know, but what about our allies in Afghanistan, what are they called? They're not called narco-terrorists, are they? No. Why not? Oh, no. Well, they provide 80% of the world's heroin. Oh. Seems to be a dichotomy here.
A what?
A dichotomy.
I don't know what that means.
So we are now going to build bases. Naval bases, I would imagine, because, you know, Central and South America offers the worst of Vietnam and Afghanistan. It's mountainous jungles. It's not just mountains, not just jungles, not just Afghanistan, not just Vietnam. It's a hellish combination of both. How do you fight that? Navy? Well, yeah. So that's what's going on. Nuclear capable, in terms of weaponry, Polaris submarines. Ouch. Where are we? Ray is in Oakdale, Minnesota. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good. I'll be really quick, Mike. I'll be quick. I called you back in August of 08. And you were not happy with me that night. I almost got into trouble with you because I called Obama a name, which I shan't repeat.
Oh, good.
however, I cannot apologize for my assessment of him. If anything,
well, if it wasn't a cuss word.
No, it wasn't.
Well, what was it? What'd you say?
Well, it contained the word uncle, I think enough said.
Oh, that's right. See, I maintain that white people cannot label black people Uncle Toms any more than they can do the same to us. You notice that us-them thing there.
Well, it's the point being, regardless of semantics, Mike, the guy is, if you'll forgive the oxymoron, he is aggressively unprincipled. He's never seen a principle he liked. I didn't vote for the guy. I had no illusions about him. And either we build up a people's lobby, a head of steam that can literally break the back of this empire and break the back of the national security state and force this man to do things he does not want to do, including getting rid of Rahm Emanuel, getting rid of Hillary Clinton, getting rid of Geithner, who's the other loser, Larry Summers, Axelrod, all of them. Just a total purge.
But Ray, it is way too late for that. We don't have that power. You and I don't have that power. Americans don't have that power. That power was pissed away when we allowed Ronald Reagan to run roughshod over U.S. Foreign policy and U.S. domestic policy. That's gone. Ray, I got to go. Thanks. Do call back. You're forgiven. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle or qualified buyer. Buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. Before the hour. Email here from JT, and I'll just accept this at face value. A lot of people say, well, how do you know what stuff people write in the emails is true? I don't question it. I just take it at face value. Mike, I was involved in the invasion and occupation of Panama. The death toll was in the tens of thousands. We quit trying to recover bodies in the rubble and just burned and bulldozed what was left. We'll never truly know how many were killed. There are mass graves holding thousands of corpses underneath sports fields. I still have nightmares and will never be the same. JT. That's one of those wars that never happened. Brett is driving in Barstow, California. Hey, Brett.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I hardly feel worthy because you gave a great monologue about Central America.
Well, it's just from reading stuff.
Well, I'm calling because I was just curious. By the way, I'm a big fan of yours. Mm-hmm. I've listened to you for about 3 or 4 months now.
Uh-huh.
And you're talking to a Rush baby. In other words, I grew up pretty much listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to actually listen to somebody who has an opposing point of view. Does that make any sense?
I guess. I mean, if you are saying that Rush Limbaugh represents one view of reality and a political reality, and I represent the other. If that's what you're saying, which I think is, kind of offensive, simply because,
well,
not offensive to me. I'm in radio. People listen to me for all kinds of reasons. It's all right with me. I'm just saying that the world that Rush Limbaugh, squats in and represents is a world that 99.99999% of Americans will never touch. just from the money standpoint, just from the power standpoint. And yes, he tries to paint himself as working in the interests of the common man. Rush Limbaugh's a liar. So if Limbaugh to build on your idea there, if Limbaugh represents everything that is vile and filthy and untruthful, then I'll accept the other, which is a person that represents things that are truthful. I'll accept that. Yeah.
I understand that. But the reason why I'm calling in, and one of the things I wanted to say to you from the moment I started listening to you, was the fact that you represent a point of view that I haven't heard and I haven't been able to hear.
Isn't that sad?
For years. No, it's, well, yeah, I guess it is.
No, of course it's sad. Of course it's sad. I mean.
But I appreciate it. And I love it.
The point of view that I try to put on this program every night is a point of view shared by, I don't know, probably 180 million Americans. But because of the way talk radio is configured, that point of view never gets to be heard by the majority. The majority of people in this country are not Limbaugh followers. The majority of the people in this country don't even know what he is. Don't forget, even his wildest claims are only 18 million listeners a year. There are 320 million people in this country.
And I get that. And you know what?
Right.
It has been, like I said, when I first told you, it has been a breath of fresh air.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way.
And I appreciate it. And you're probably not going to like the reason why I called.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, look, I once again, and I want to preface this by saying that I truly enjoy your show and I truly enjoy your point of view because I haven't heard it.
Okay, you've already said that. Now get to why you called.
Well, I called because I don't understand the whole opinion about Sarah Palin.
Oh, what's your opinion of Sarah Palin?
My opinion of Sarah Palin, and by the way, I hope that you will publicly say how great your call screener is. Because she asked me a question that nobody has asked me before, and it just floored me.
Yeah.
She asked me, would you trust Sarah Palin with the quote-unquote football, or the nuclear football that the president has?
I wouldn't trust Sarah Palin with Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh, Mike.
I wouldn't trust Sarah Palin with a soccer ball. Now, what, go ahead. What's your opinion?
That's just the thing. She asked me that. And it was almost instinctive. I was like, oh, my God, hell no.
All right. Well, let me say this. And Brett, I'm going to have to move on. I've had you on here for about 5 minutes. But I'll go ahead and try to answer what I think would have been your question. Why you think Sarah Palin is so unfairly treated or why I react to Sarah Palin the way I do. I don't have enough time tonight, tomorrow, and the following night to try to answer your question, because your question is multifaceted. I could just say Sarah Palin is, to me, a threat to everything that is logical, reasonable, decent, truthful, that I've ever come across. She's a fraud, a liar, a trickster, a religious fanatic. She believes in mass death. She looks toward, she welcomes mass death because in her twisted mind, it will bring her savior, her Lord and Savior, down, skidding down on a bloody pile of corpses to embrace her. She's a megalomaniac as well as being a toxic narcissist. She is insane. I can go on and on and on. The mere fact that anybody turns out for a book signing from this psychopath is beyond my ability to understand. A, she didn't write the book. I mean, let's just start there. But beyond that, this is a woman who would, were she ever to get into national office, would do everything she could to destroy America. That is her goal. To destroy America, and not just America, the world. She is a Christian Armageddonist. She is a Dominionist. She's a Christian Reconstructionist. Now, those terms may be foreign to you. Look them up if you want to. If not, don't. I frankly don't give a tinker's damn. I tell people, don't come to this program for education. I ain't got none. All we share on this program is points of view and opinion, mostly mine, but that's why it's called the Mike Malloy Show. So, Sarah Palin is a threat to my kids, to my grandchildren, to America. She's the worst form of terrorist there is, a religious terrorist. There is nothing as vile, as filled with hate, and the ability to destroy in a justifiable way as a religious terrorist. That's exactly what Sarah Palin is. Exactly. Her counterparts exist in every psychopathic religious movement on earth. They're all crazy. But that's the main reason that to me Sarah Palin stinks. She has about her the odor of death and decay and a kind of religiosity that smells like the fires of hell. That's all I can tell you, pal. And that's enough.
So you're not going to be voting for, I guess. Now, I just want to remind him and anyone else who's out there listening, this is the woman that told that group of students to, pray for our military men and women, and that our leaders, our national leaders, are sending soldiers on a task that's from God.
Right.
They're doing God's plan.
Right. She is a religious,
that's frightening.
Religious psychopath, and I'll say it until I don't have a voice anymore. The biggest threat to the survival of the human race are people who are religiously bent, are religious fundamentalists. It's worse than a drug. It's worse than a disease. It is all about death and destruction. Every single religion on earth, at least the three that we're concerned with, looks forward to death and destruction, looks forward to the end of time. Not the beginning, not the creation. They are about destruction, death, and the end of everything, because they have this twisted perversion that they think somehow they're going to float around up in the clouds in the presence of God, and everything's going to be lovely. This group will get 72 virgins, and that one will get 72 whatevers, and this one will get a harp, and that one will get all the guns he can shoot, and this one will get all the boys she can bang. And oh my goodness, isn't it going to be lovely? Mike, how long before your country starts looking north after our resources like they are now heading south? We are the universal healthcare socialist commies to the north with oil and lots of clean water. When will we become the next convenient enemy of the military-industrial complex under the direction of Wall Street? Don, I don't know. I don't know. Jeff is driving in Virginia. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Okay. Well, after that last scolding that you had, much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I am on the road, and I have a 3G service, so I couldn't quite get all the information I wanted, but I laid I was laying down the proposed route for the pipes into Afghanistan, and then try to lay over the troop deployment on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that the troop deployment parallels the proposed pipeline almost foot by foot.
Yeah, I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, Jeff, except people who are not really aware or refuse to be. You know, the ignorance in this country is willful ignorance, because there's enough information out there for people to never not have the truth. Ever since the internet opened up to the point where we have access to every single news source on the planet, there is no longer any excuse to be willfully ignorant. But that should not come as a surprise to anybody. That's what the whole game in Afghanistan is about. It's no more about freeing the Afghan girls so they can go to school, or bringing a democracy to a 2,000-year-old society that's very happy with its tribalistic, crazed Islam, at least for the past 1,300 years. So, you know, this is madness. And there's no reason not to see what you have seen, that the troop lines do indeed follow the route of the pipeline. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And, well, like I told when I was talking to Kathy, you know, I said, you know, when you consider the drones that we're sending out and
right.
Eventual planes and bombs that are going to go through there, you know, not only are we going to be laying or clearing out the path of all the Afghanistan people, mm-hmm. where the pipeline goes, but we're also going to be leveling the mountains for the construction companies.
Yeah, nice job there. It's kind of a twofer, right, Jeff?
Well, aren't we excellent at multitasking?
Yeah, we are, aren't we? And besides, we got a lot of companies in West Virginia who know how to remove mountaintops very quickly.
Exactly.
Jeff,
exactly.
I got a boogie. Thanks, man. I hope to hear from you again. Thanks for checking in, Jeff. I appreciate it. Marge is in Merville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
How you doing, old buddy?
I'm still full.
Yeah, right.
Still
you know,
full.
We're already heading for Canada. You know, right next door here in Whiting.
Yeah.
British Petroleum that took over Standard Oil.
Yeah.
It is fighting for a permit so that they can process this dirty oil shale. Where is it? Saskatchewan, I think, that they're digging it up.
I think it is.
Yeah, out that way.
Yeah.
They're already getting ready to bring that in and process it here. So, you know, we're already, you know, dealing with Canada and their oil supply. So.
But I think so far we're still paying for it.
Well, okay.
And what Don was worried about in Canada was the day, when the day comes that we decide we don't have to pay for Canadian oil either. We just send in, I don't know, what can we send in to Canada? I have no idea what we'll have left. But I think at that point the Canadians will say, well, you've gone one step too far, and
that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it'd be very easy for Canadians to infiltrate the United States and wreak all kinds of havoc. Because you know why? They're white. Well,
God.
A lot of them are anyway.
Yeah.
But what you really called about?
What I really called about? You know, tonight I was watching Frontline,
yeah.
And there's two pairs of words that's really beginning to haunt me off, and every time I hear it, my teeth go on edge.
Yeah.
And my hair stands up on the back of my neck. Free market. My Aunt Fanny.
Right.
I mean, can we talk about fair market? And the other pair is consumer economy.
Uh-huh.
My God. You know, Reagan and all his bunch, you know, took away all the spending and all the regulations on the banks, and they gave us credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And now the banks are saying, well, gee, you know, we'll give you free checking, but we're going to with your debit card, but we're going to charge you $33 if you go over your limit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meanwhile, and from 10% interest annual percentage rate, we're going to now charge you 35%. I mean, isn't that fun? I mean, these fine bastards, you know. And when we get a new law, and Chris Dodd sitting there saying, well, we just don't have the rules because the banks have got all this money. Well, damn, get your hands out of your pocket and start, you know, demonstrate that you have some kind of a spine. Wouldn't that be nice for the people in Congress? And the other thing there, have you heard the thing that's, I think, with one or two congressmen and one senator is starting to talk about a war tax?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about it tonight. Yeah.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Who's going to pay that?
Well, everybody should pay it, and everybody should submit to the draft, and Congress should issue a declaration of war if that's what President Obama wants in Afghanistan, if that's what the Republicans want, if that's what the right wing, the war lovers and the war hawks.
Oh, yeah, the war mongers.
And the chicken hawks. Let's, you know, they ought to have what they want, Marge. But
and there's one last thing that's got me.
But they ought to get it up front and honest.
Honest?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Well, anyhow.
Ten seconds.
It was Stupak. And now this week it's a group of doctors that's talking about mammograms and pap smears.
Uh-huh.
You know, what nobody noticed is when What's-Her-Face from Health and Human Services was talking, was this group of doctors that recommended all this crap was appointed, was a bunch of witch doctors appointed by Bush.
You're absolutely right. Marge, I got to say goodnight.
Happy Turkey Day.
All right, you too, dear heart. Take care.
Take care.
All right, Marge. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy.
What's good?